This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I am Christine Wong, and joining me on the line today is
Frida Liu.
Yay, it's Frida Liu.
Yay, can you hear me?
Excellent. Yes, we can hear you. Great. So today on Enterprise Biz Bytes, we've been asking a question on Twitter all morning, and that is, what is your biggest business-related tax concern? So we've got a poll up on Twitter right now. What are our poll options, Frida?
The poll options are repaying deferments, exemption of FSI, that's the foreign source income, miscalculated tax, and others. And I, where we're standing at the moment is a 71.4% of miscalculated tax, which I took part in this. That's my biggest worry.
Fair enough. And so we're asking that question, and you can, of course, participate in the poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also reach out to us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And that is because today we are talking about businesses and tax in 2022. Now, the debilitating financial impact and the countless loss of lives from the onslaught of the COVID-19 pandemic has provided valuable insight into why it is even more crucial now for taxpayers to execute their civic duty by paying their fair share of taxes in enabling the government to carry out its nation-building promises. So, we were wondering what were the biggest tax concerns heading into the new year, and also what businesses should be doing when it comes to their tax strategy. So, here are a few tax concerns or developments that businesses and individuals should be aware of heading into 2022.
Right. Firstly, you've got the exemption of foreign source income. Basically, the question of will my income from a foreign source be taxed or not? The Finance Ministry, upon considering the feedback of professional bodies and relevant stakeholders, extended the tax exemption of FSI of individuals and foreign dividend income from corporates on December 30th, 2021 until December 31st, 2026, subject to certain conditions. They call it a U-turn. This unexpected year-end gift could be a boon to our economy, as it will encourage remittance of individuals, FSI, corporates, foreign source dividends to enhance investments locally. We can only patiently await the impending guidelines by the Inland Revenue Board, IRB, on the qualifying conditions of the FSI exemption to provide clarity, which will assist taxpayers in assessing their FSI taxability. Consequently, it's even more crucial now for taxpayers to do their research and keep an eye and ear out for further news here.
Of course. Then you also have, obviously, the deferments of tax payments as well. The IRB has announced a series of extensions for taxpayers and employers affected by the recent floods, including deferments of January payment arising from investigation, audit, collection, and civil suit installments until February. And this is following on from all those tax deferments of 2020 and 2021, right? So it's giving people a chance to take a breath. But it is also extremely important that those who are utilizing those deferments have a workable plan in mind for the eventual payment.
Yes, the eventual payment. There have also been a slew of tax disputes. Recently, there's been a surge in aggrieved taxpayers filing for judicial review at the High Court, challenging the tax assessment raised by the IRB. Now, it can be worrying, feeling as though your tax has been miscalculated, but having a judicial review may not often be the best course of action, as it often leads to a stressful, prolonged, and costly process with no guarantee of success. The alternative would be to seek an amicable resolution in which both parties, taxpayer and RRB, can come to a common ground before an assessment is raised. This alternative approach is much more feasible for businesses to move on, especially when the issues raised are grey. And this is where taxpayers should have in place strong documentation on tax transactions moving forward. It's never too late to start implementing corrective measures. Remember that prevention is always better than the cure.
And finally, there's the idea that we may be moving towards a more rakyat-centric IRB as well. Its newly appointed Chief Executive Officer, Dato' Muhammad Nizam Sairi, had recently said in an interview that the IRB's revenue collection target for 2022 has been revised to 102 billion ringgit. To achieve this target, he's given some insights to the strategies IRB will be adopting this year. So this includes implementing or sustaining various innovative measures like Go Digital for Future Services, My Tax System, and E-Janji Temu to facilitate taxpayers in complying with their tax obligations and managing their tax affairs. Providing a tax education portal, EduZone, in which taxpayers can keep abreast of the latest tax articles or publication. Continued use of big data and advanced data analytics in aiding their decision-making. A more effective tax audit and investigation approach by reviewing all the subsidiary companies in a group rather than just the holding company. the centralization of tax files based on certain categories of companies and high net worth individuals, and finally, being more business friendly in tax audit and investigation cases by being more understanding to taxpayers instead of immediately imposing penalties, enforcing travel bans, or initiating bankruptcy notices.
Right. So from what has been talked about, it's clear that collective effort is needed by the government and taxpayers alike to break the nation away from the turmoil of 2021-2020. For more insight into how businesses should look at their taxes in 2022, we'll be speaking to Zen Chow Tak Kim, a tax practice leader of YYC Group, after these messages.
Yes, we will. So coming up now, it's Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Breaking financial matters, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Frida Liu.
And we are asking you guys a question on Twitter. What is our question, Frida?
Our question is, what is your biggest business-related tax concern? The poll happening on Twitter, that's at BFM Radio. So the options are repaying deferments, exemption of FSI, miscalculated tax, and others. And in terms of what's leading, it's miscalculated tax is 72.2%, followed by repaying deferments, 25%. Exemption of FSI, I think maybe people, the listeners here aren't earning foreign source income, and others, let us know what it is. And of course, you can also let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not the only people who are speaking about taxes today, and we'll actually hear a lot more about FSI shortly. We are speaking to Zen Chow Tak Kim, tax practice leader of YYC Group, and he's on the line with us right now. So thank you very much for staying on the line. Now, Zen Chow, how can businesses plan their taxes in 2022?
All right. Actually, most businesses do not plan their tax, which is something that I would not suggest you do, because every business should plan your tax at the very beginning of the year. Well, for year 2022, what I would suggest business owners out there is to look at what kind of tax incentives are available for your businesses, for your industry as well, so that you can take advantage of all these tax incentives so that you can save some tax and you don't pay unnecessary tax. Well, and one more thing that you could do is you can look back at your previous tax computations like year 2021, year 2020, or even previous years, and look at where else can you improve your tax computation so that you can maximize your tax efficiency and, more importantly, do not pay unnecessary tax.
Unnecessary tax. Yes, Zen. Zen, why is it so important for business owners to pay the right amount of tax? No more, no less.
All right. Now, every business owner wants to pay the right amount of tax. Why? Because if you pay too much tax, then you will find yourself being not competitive enough in the industry. That means you probably don't earn that much of money to pay that amount of tax. But because of the unnecessary tax that you are paying, you know, you do not actually pay tax efficiently. So you ended up paying more tax than what you're supposed to, which is, well, eating in your profit. You know, you want to have more profit after tax for your business. But you should not also just simply pay less tax than what you're supposed to pay, because that is against the law. And if you pay less tax than what you're supposed to pay, when the tax authorities come, audit your account and found out that you actually are not paying the correct amount of tax, you would then have to pay back the tax. And worse still, you have to pay penalty for that tax that you have underpaid. So you should always pay the right amount of tax only, not more, not less.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Frida, but I'm always very paranoid that something's been miscalculated somewhere when it comes to taxes, right? And that's just me as an individual. So Zen Chow, what tools are available for businesses to ensure that their tax calculations are accurate?
Now, there are actually a lot of tax software out there for you to use to compute your tax, you know, so that you try to pay the most accurate tax, because this software would help you to compute, to calculate how much profit you're making, what kind of tax deductions that you're eligible to get, so that you will come to a final tax payable amount. But having the software is not enough because you also need a tax knowledge. You need to have the tax knowledge to know how to use that tax software efficiently. Knowing how to use the software is actually more important than using the software. And to use the software in the most efficient way, you need all the tax knowledge because the software could only help you to calculate what are the deductions that you have put in. But whether this deduction is actually deductible or not, that all boils down to your tax knowledge. So if you have that tax knowledge to tell the software whether to deduct or not to deduct, then only you'll be paying the most efficient tax. So I would say not just the software, but it is the tools, which is software plus the tax knowledge that are both equally important for you to ensure that your tax calculations are most accurate. There are a couple of ways to gain tax knowledge, of course. Well, most people would try to attend to some classes, some seminars, or nowadays webinars, you know, to learn more about all the tax treatments or tax deductibilities. Of course, you may probably want to think about, you know, subscribing to some tax platform. Like, for example, we have TaxPod, which is actually catered for business owners to gain all the tax knowledge as a business owner. Because with all the tax knowledge, then only you would know how to plan your tax well. And like what I was saying, pay the most efficient tax and not paying unnecessary tax.
Mm. Now, if a business miscalculates or pays the wrong amount of tax, right, what are the steps to rectify this?
All right. Now, if you realize that you have miscalculated the tax payable or you paid the wrong amount of tax, well, if you know it before the tax authority comes in, audit your account and found out, you can actually rectify it by revising your tax computation. That is, having said that, it means you can actually go back to the Internal Revenue Board, tell them what I have declared previously was wrong. So I'm coming in to rectify this, put in the correct amount and pay that additional tax. Yeah, but bear in mind, there could be penalty involved. Yes, there could be penalty involved when the revision or the rectification involves more tax payable. Well, of course, in terms of how much the penalty is, depends on how soon do you go back to the tax authority to tell them that you have made such a mistake. If you have paid additional tax, too much tax, of which you want to go back and rectify things, you want to just go back, revise the tax payable downwards, you're allowed to do so as well. You can still do your revision, but of course, there is no penalty involved when the tax is now being reduced. However, whenever you do any rectification or revision of your tax computation, the Inland Revenue Board, which is our tax authority, would come in and they will audit your account to ensure that this rectification is actually correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sencha, just stay on the line with us for a little bit more. We have a couple more questions for you. But of course, we also have a question for our audience. And what is that question, Frida?
All right. The question is, what is your biggest business-related tax concern? Take part of a poll. The options are repaying deferments, exemption of FSI, that's foreign source income, miscalculated tax, and others. So take part in the poll. Also, let us know your thoughts via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Indeed. Now, we are going to have two Princess by Spin Doctors here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here with me, Christine Wong, and
Frida Liu.
And we're asking you a question on Twitter.
Right. The question is, what is your biggest business-related tax concern? The poll is still happening. Do participate. The options are repaying deferments, exemption of FSI, miscalculated tax, and others. And you can also let us know your thoughts via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Mm-hmm. And someone else who is letting us know his thoughts on all of this is, of course, our guest today, Zen Chow Tuck Him, tax practice leader of YYC Group. So, the withdrawal of foreign source income exemption, otherwise known as FSI, that was announced in Budget 2022, seems to be a pretty hot topic amongst the tax community right now. Zen Chow, what are your thoughts on how this will affect Malaysian businesses and business owners?
All right. Now, I do agree that this is definitely one of the hottest topics from Budget 2022. Well, if we go back to the history of our Malaysian income tax, well, foreign source income was actually taxed previously. Yeah, it was actually taxed when it was actually remitted back to Malaysia. However, the Income Tax Act was amended to include Schedule 6, Paragraph 28. Yes, Paragraph 28 of Schedule 6 in the Income Tax Act actually says, if your income is a foreign source income, well, when you remit it back to Malaysia, you don't pay tax. Well, having said that, we are actually taxing only income derived from Malaysia when the income is sourced from Malaysia. Yeah, but in Budget 2022, they are amending this Paragraph 28 under Schedule 6 again to say that if you are a resident, if you are a resident of Malaysia. Now, when I say resident, please don't misunderstood thinking that I have to be a citizen of Malaysia. No, a tax resident actually is not affected by the citizenship. Yeah, we always look at how many days you actually stay in Malaysia. For example, if you are an individual, you stay in Malaysia for 182 days or more in a calendar year, you will be called a tax resident of Malaysia. Now, if you are a tax resident of Malaysia and if you have foreign source income, if you bring back this income into Malaysia, you will have to be taxed when it is being brought back to Malaysia. So if this income is a foreign source income and if you don't bring them back to Malaysia, well, you don't pay tax. But if you bring them back to Malaysia, you have to pay tax in the year where you bring them back to Malaysia. So that is the amendment to this exemption paragraph. Now, however, I have something really new and hot to tell all of you. That is, at the end of last year, which is on the 30th of December, well, the Ministry of Finance actually made an announcement. The Ministry of Finance made an announcement to say that even though this exemption paragraph has been amended, however, individuals continue to enjoy the exemption. Yes, individuals will still enjoy the exemption for all the foreign source income that they earn overseas, even if they are being brought back to Malaysia. And this exemption period is from year 2022 until the end of 2026. Now, but bear in mind, even though this exemption is announced by the Ministry of Finance, but there is no law legislating this yet. That means there is no exemption order being announced or being published. So we still have to wait for further details because we were told that there will be guidelines to be issued on this exemption. So let's wait for the guideline. Let's look at the law to be legislated before, you know, we jump into conclusion and say, you know, all individuals are still being exempted. Malaysian business owners who have income earned overseas, they will tend not to bring the money back into Malaysia because we know the moment you bring the money back into Malaysia, you have to pay tax. But if you leave the income that you earn overseas, you don't have to pay tax because the rule says if the income is brought back to Malaysia, you pay tax. So that would actually, first of all, the economy of Malaysia because more business owners would try to leave whatever income that they have earned overseas. You know, they do not want to bring this income back. They'll just leave it overseas. But of course, for those who would want to bring them back into Malaysia, they have to bring it back to Malaysia, you know, to fund whatever expenses that they need to have in Malaysia. We will see the cost of doing business being higher. Why? Because this income could have been taxed once. Now, that's because in the Income Tax Act, there is this thing called double tax relief. Well, double tax relief would mean if you can prove that the income earned overseas has been taxed in overseas, when you bring this income back into Malaysia, well, you have to compute your tax payable in Malaysia again. But the tax that you have paid overseas can be used as a set off, as a credit to reduce the tax payable in Malaysia. But it's not that simple because you have to prove that you have all the taxes paid, you need all the documentation to prove that. And there's a formula for you to apply to compute or to calculate how much tax relief can you actually claim. You may not be able to claim the full amount, right? You may probably claim only half of the tax amount that you have already paid overseas. So it's definitely going to increase the cost of doing business. Even if you can do this, well, getting a professional to do it for you would probably make, you know, the fee payable to the professional even higher.
Hmm.
Right. So basically, we'll have to wait and see about that, right? Now, since the implementation of digital service tax, DST, concerns have been raised about the vagueness of what the tax covers and the possibility of being subject to double taxation, you know, as you mentioned, Zencha, do you have any thoughts or clarifications, sir, on how this affects Malaysian businesses?
All right. Now, first of all, let me probably just explain what imported service tax is, as well as what a digital service tax is all about. Now, imported service tax actually refers to the service tax that a local consumer who is doing business, a local business owner, who has to pay if you are using a taxable service provided by an overseas service provider. Now, what kind of service will be subject to imported service tax? It is exactly the same with whatever taxable service that is supposed to subject to service tax in Malaysia. So why do we have imported service tax? Now, it is to create a level playing field. Now, imagine this. If you are purchasing a taxable service from a local service provider, the local service provider will be charging your service tax because that, you know, that service is a taxable service. But if I were to purchase the same service from an overseas service provider, that overseas service provider is not registered under our Service Tax Act, and therefore they will not charge a service tax. And that would create a scenario where it's cheaper for me to buy from an overseas service provider as compared to a local service provider. So to create a level playing field, imported service tax is actually introduced. And it says, if you are purchasing a taxable service, even though it is not from a local service provider, even though it is from an overseas service provider, if that is a taxable service, you still have to pay service tax, but you don't pay it to the overseas service provider, you would have to account this service tax on your own. Having said that, it means you would then have to look at how much have you paid the overseas service provider and multiplied it by 6%, which is our service tax rate, multiply by 6%, self-account that 6% service tax, and pay that to our Royal Malaysian Customs. So that is the rationale behind this imported taxable service and the imported service tax. It is really to create a level playing field. Yeah. Now, then let me go to the digital service tax. Now, the digital service tax is actually introduced on foreign service provider only. That means if a foreign service provider is providing digital services to local consumers would mean Malaysian consumers, they will have to register. Yes, this overseas service provider would have to register for digital service tax. They will have to register themselves. And each time when they provide digital service to a local consumer, they will have to charge a 6% digital service tax. So that is really on digital service only on digital services. Now, but having said that, is digital service a taxable service under Service Tax Act? Yes, it is. So we may see a scenario where the digital service provided by a foreign service provider is subject to digital service tax, and it is also called an imported taxable service. So in that case, does it mean that the foreign service provider would charge me a 6% digital service tax, and at the same time, I would have to self-account another 6% imported service tax? No. Answer is no. Because it's stated very clearly in the Service Tax Act, it says if you have been charged a digital service tax by a foreign service provider, you no longer need to account that imported service tax on your own anymore. You don't have to. But always remember, if the foreign service provider has not registered for the digital service tax, and you are acquiring a digital service from a foreign service provider, digital service is a taxable service in Malaysia. You would then have self-account that imported service tax. So it's either or. You don't have to pay both, but if you don't pay the digital service tax, you would then have to self-account the imported service tax.
Hmm. Wow, a lot of stuff to absorb there and process. Now, final question for you, Zencha. How have the various tax deferments over the past few years affected businesses? And what are your predictions for the possibility of extended or even more tax deferments moving forward into 2022?
All right. Now, during the past few years, we have seen that the government is giving tax deferments to business owners, of course. Well, that is definitely to improve their cash flows. Yeah, due to the pandemic, you know, many people are struggling with cash flow for their businesses. So tax deferments are actually given. Yeah. So in year 2022, the government is again giving tax deferments to business owners. Well, if you are a business owner, well, let's say you have a Sundram Berhad, you have to pay this installment payment every month for the estimated tax payable, or what we call the CP204. So in year 2022, from January until June, actually you can defer your first 6 months installments. That means from January to June, you don't have to pay the installment payments until it goes to July. Yeah, that means the first 6 months, you can totally defer all the installment payments, all the monthly tax installment payments for your company. Well, you only resume your installment payment in the month of July. Now, same goes to those without a company. You know, say you're a sole proprietorship or you are a partner of a partnership, you probably will be paying this installment payment via CP500. And that is every 2 months. Yeah, that's bi-monthly installment. Yeah, and a bi-monthly installment is always January, March, May, July, September, and so on. Yeah, so same rules. First 6 months, you get a deferment. So from January to June, you see yourself having to pay installments actually in the month of January, March, and May. So these three installment payments can be deferred, which means if you are someone who are paying installments via CP500, you don't have to pay the installments for these three months, which is January, March, and May. Yeah, so this deferment would really, really help business owners because we know that while you are recovering from this pandemic, cash flow is the utmost important thing. Yeah, you really want to spend your cash wisely. You want to use it to recover your business or even to expand your business. Who knows, right? If you think there's an opportunity to do so. So this deferment would definitely help business owner to recover better and also to improve their business, you know, in a much better way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was Zen Chow Tuck Kim, tax practice leader of YYC Group, on the line with us talking all about businesses and tax in 2022. So, Afrida, what are those final numbers?
The final numbers, they are looking like this. Miscalculated tax, that's 75%. Repaying deferments, 22.5%. 0% for exemption of FSI and 2.5 others. 2.5 for others, we don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we said tell us what, no one told us what. But that is about it for today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. Thank you very much for tuning in. And also thank you very much, of course, to Zen Chow for shedding some light on tax as well. On behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and of course, Frida Liu, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.